is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Kazakhstan. I welcome Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, observing what we can of Kazakhstan, the unrest, the turmoil, the doubts, the language. This is fog of war, fog of diplomacy. So the reporting we have from Europe dates itself quickly with new statements out of Moscow or out of Nur-Sultan. What we do have is that the president of Russia has pointed to external forces, that's a quote, who are driving a revolution or an attempted revolution in Kazakhstan. We have remarks from the president of Kazakhstan that this was, the turmoil, an attempted coup d'etat, that's a quote, coordinated by, quote, a single center. No names, but there is talk that this may involve the previous leader, dictator, apparatchik of Kazakhstan, Nazarbayev, and another man, Masimov, who's associated with Nazarbayev for many decades. But, Gregory, a very good evening to you. This is the great game, although there are surprising elements here. Kazakhstan sandwiched between two empires, both well-armed and cautious. The Russian Empire to the north, the Chinese Empire, the People's Republic of China, to the east. And Kazakhstan, a vast landscape, four times the size of Ukraine, dwarfing all the other states in Central Asia, with a very small population, 20% of whom are said to be ethnic Russians, driven there, chased there, deported there, in the Stalinist regime, perhaps. However, how do you measure at this time Kazakhstan's stability? Have we seen the end of this revolt, or is this the beginning of a long trail? Good evening to you, Gregory.
Good evening, John. Well, I think this is the end of the piece of strategic theater. This is a kabuki, in a sense. The so-called coup attempt was clearly well-planned, well-orchestrated, was impossible to imagine under the terms which it was claimed. It was not, if you like, a coup attempt in the conventional sense. My belief is that the former president and now the man known as the first president and Elbasy, leader of the nation, Nur-Sultan Nazarbayev, was trying to reconsolidate power and that he engaged with definitely with a foreign power and almost certainly, I would say, the originator of the color revolutions in the United States to get a something going. Now, having said that, I don't believe that Nazarbayev, who's 81 years old, who'd voluntarily retired from the presidency in 2019 to be elevated above politics to this quasi-monarchical role of Elbasy, leader of the nation, I don't think he was in any shape to tackle President Tokayev, who he voluntarily gave power to in 2019. Now, Nazarbayev never liked Tokayev never liked Nazarbayev, and immediately he came in as president, he started to try to circumvent the residual powers which Nazarbayev took with him to this Elbasy position, including Nazarbayev's position running the Security Council and controlling the armed forces. So there was this conflict between them. But I believe that Tokayev basically orchestrated to bring this alleged coup attempt to the surface as a street protest so that he could crush it, so that he could get rid of all of it, internal opposition and flush out those who were opposed to him and basically put an end to Nazarbayev forever. Because Nazarbayev was hoping with this quasi-monarchical position to put his family, particularly his daughter, in as a successor to him when Nazarbayev died. That's all been wiped aside now. Tokayev is firmly in power. He's got rid of any residual effects of Nazarbayev, although he may keep him there as a figurehead, maybe not, but it's all done. And this is not good news for the Russians. The Russians were quite happy to see this transition of getting Nazarbayev out of day-to-day politics and getting Tokayev there to modernize the Kazakh state. But basically, by putting Nazarbayev in this father of the nation position, was going to serve as a model for President Vladimir Putin himself, so that he could move out of the presidency of Russia and take this senior statesman position, a quasi-czarist position, and can still control the levers of power so that nobody could basically throw him out.
Russia, looking at it from the point of view of the Kremlin, is this an opportunity to exploit? Is this a surprise? Is this a drain? You report that there were voices saying, ah, and then going to moments in the Cold War, perhaps Czechoslovakia, other voices, ah, this looks like Crimea. However, there's some spontaneity here. The Kremlin has said the Russian troops, which are part of, say, an alliance, we're told, a deployment, were invited in, and they will leave as soon as stability is restored. Will they leave, Gregory?
Yes, they will. There's no question that that Moscow was given some advance warning, because they had a whole load of big Ilyushin 76 troop transport aircraft ready, and they flew in their Spetsnaz forces to help Tokayev suppress the coup. So it was all like a clockwork maneuver. So the Russians were alerted, and I think that Moscow was greatly pleased that that Tokayev had used the Collective Security Treaty Organization, which is dominated by Russia, to undertake this, rather than allowing the Shanghai Cooperation Organization in as the security guarantor, because Kazakhstan is a member of both the Collective Security Treaty Organization and of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. But it was Moscow that dominated, and that was what was important. Moscow reluctantly says, okay, we'll get rid of Nazarbayev. He's actually inefficient anyway, and holding the country back. Tokayev is going to be a lot better. But this was a coup which was organized and, if you like, orchestrated by Tokayev, allowing certain foreigners, and I again think of the color revolution organizers from the United States who had done these color revolutions earlier, and there was evidence of that. And it started when Xi Jinping, the Communist Party of China's General Secretary, announced that that he disapproved of color revolutions in Kazakhstan. And then we saw Putin also use the term color revolution. This is a code word for saying U.S. State Department, coupled with the private sponsors of color revolutions, which we had seen earlier in Serbia, in Ukraine, in Georgia, and the like, and in the Kyrgyz Republic. So basically, yes, there was foreign involvement, but they were lured in naively to give Tokayev the ability to just stamp it all out in exactly the same way that the Turkish president Erdogan did with the 2016 so-called attempted coup in Turkey.
So the ugly American's been replaced by the naive American. Okay, Gregory, you mentioned Beijing. Is this a surprise to Beijing? This is their border, 100 miles between Almaty and the Xinjiang border. What does Beijing make of the results so far?
Well, I think Beijing is happy because we've got stability now in Kazakhstan. We haven't got Nazarbayev, who was flirting with, if you like, delusions of grandeur by being the new emperor of Kazakhstan. So he's gone, and with him the flirtations with the West. Tokayev is very pragmatic about his relations with the West and with the outside world as trading partners. But, you know, he's about controlling and improving the efficiency of Kazakhstan. And Kazakhstan is a very significant transit partner for the PRC in its Belt and Road Initiative, linking China across to Europe. Kazakhstan is also critical as an energy supplier to the People's Republic of China. Something like 20% of the natural gas that the PRC needs. But as we've seen, when the PRC even cut out a relatively marginal coal supplier like Australia, it caused massive brownouts and blackouts to the Chinese electrical system. So imagine what would happen if there was instability in Kazakhstan, which would have cut off that supply of natural gas from Kazakhstan. It would have been unthinkable for Beijing, particularly in winter. So Beijing is happy. Moscow's happy. Moscow will need to get its troops out of there as quickly as possible. Certainly now that the senior national security figures in Kazakhstan have been purged, and that's particularly the head of the intelligence apparatus and some of the senior military, Tokayev is happy. He's got control, and things can actually move forward. And we saw in, for example, Uzbekistan, which is its neighbor to the south, in 2016, we saw that it took the death of the old line post-Soviet president to enable the country to move forward. So by Tokayev getting rid of Nazarbayev, who at 81 just wouldn't go away, they now have the ability to modernize and streamline the country. And that may be good for the Central Asian economies in the medium term.
I'm speaking with Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, about the Moscow story in Kazakhstan. When we come back, the Moscow story in Ukraine and in Geneva and in Brussels and in Washington. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.